Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you get that? Are you?
I knew he was marauding around on elephants. I did.
And that was his X factor, that his army had bigger species.
I mean, they're the tank of the animal kingdom. Yeah,
right.
He was taking them around. Somebody else is coming in on camels. You're kind of screwed. That's air raid offense.
So
you're going against
the big people.
Yeah.
Is the moral of the story there?
I would. By the way,
go big.
In football terms, yeah. You just want to get the bigger team. I mean, Mike Tomlin
did not work out for George
big.
Young, though, because he didn't pick Franco Harris and the Steelers did. But
True. Anyways. I would say that Arthur Smith trying to play coy, like, is this going to be the game plan this week? It might be the game plan 1 week, not the next week. What is the best way to neutralize a great pass rusher? Generally, like, conventional football
run
wisdom.
At him.
Run it right at the guy. Now, not with T.J. Watt. One of the great things about his game is you run it to his side, you're probably going to get a very small gain. But if you want to keep Myles Garrett as much on his back foot as you can, you put all the beef on one side and you say, we are going to put like six hands on you and try to like put you into the ground. And just you almost hope you wear the guy out at that point doing that. He's got to fight off double teams every time that are run blocking double teams. To me, that just seems like basic football logic here.
I will give the Browns a compliment. It's the best so far, the best run defense in the NFL. If you're going to run at them, I don't think you're just going to line up five guys against their
front line. You have to get creative.
No, see, if you're going to run it, you're going to have to need more. You're going to have to allocate more people to it, and you're probably going to want to use the bigger people who block better. So if they're going to come out hell-bent to run the ball, they do that. Now, the other thing, though, that I would say would throw the Browns a curveball is they play this. Rodgers went over this, so
They show eight up and then they play too high.
I'm just completely grafting off of him here. If they play their base defense a lot and they play all these guys in the box and they play big people on defense, then why not play your smaller lineup and force them out of it?
You've got to be able to protect your quarterback long enough for him to, like, make it hurt with your smaller lineup.
But, I mean, if at the line of scrimmage it's a linebacker matched up against one of your wide receivers, we've seen that story with the Steelers' defense before. And
it's a little different when it's Keenan Allen matched up against Sean Spence versus, I don't know, they're going to be able to ISO DK Metcalf on a linebacker?
I don't think it has to be DK Metcalf.
Scotty Miller? Ben Skoranek?
Yeah. Still, though.
You understand what I'm saying, though. None of those – Scotty Miller's fast, but none of those guys is prime Keenan Allen.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, you could do that. You could zig when they expect you to zag, and you could put Roman Wilson out there and say, all right, man, here you go. They just traded one of their corners, so they're really thin at that position. They're designed to stop the run. Let's throw the ball on them 35 times because they're not good at that. And we've got the Hall of Fame quarterback who knows how to have the quick trigger. Let's beat him that way. Let's get a lead doing that. And then if we want to run the ball and protect a lead, we can do that later in the game.
I think the bigger advantage to what you're saying is not so much about like what we could do later, what they could do later in the game running the ball. I do think if you get a lead on them, you have a pretty good chance of forcing like Stefanski, the play caller, and Gabriel, the quarterback, out of a comfort zone.
Yeah, you change their offense, too.
Because they were very good playing with a lead for most of that Vikings game where they could just run Judkins a lot, and he looked good. He looked like a guy who was making people miss and was running powerfully. I would like to see what it would look like if the Steelers could jump out to a sort of shock and surprise 10-0 lead here and see if Stefanski has like the kind of the guts to stick with his game plan. I don't know though, man. Like there's part of me that back when the Ravens used to be awesome at stopping the run, you'd almost say like, eh, we're not even going to bother with it because they're so good at it. It's just stupid. There's part of me that wants to see if they can line up Jumbo and just say like, yeah, you're good at defending the run, but you haven't seen something like this. I don't know. I kind of want to see that more.
Here is, let's get to Arthur Smith on how they're going to divvy up the carries at running back. Now, all the insiders who are there at practice are saying it's going to go right back to Jaylen Warren being the guy and Kenneth Gainwell being the change of pace. Let's see if Arthur Smith's comments today back that up.
You know, we've used some packages where him and Jaylen are both out there. They're both unique players. They're not, in my opinion, traditional running backs. And Jalen's a very unique guy. Just his yards after contact, you know, that's an interesting stat. When I had Tyler Algier and we drafted Tyler, he was, I think, second behind Kenneth Walker in yards after contact. And his is just no fair dodging, run you over. And then when we took Bijan, he was a very yards after contact. But the way he did it, it was more balanced. And, you know, you put him in a phone booth. And I've never seen somebody that can make somebody miss in short quarters. But, they, you know, whether they got a hand on him, it was different. And Tyler is just like, get out of my way here. Here I go. And then with Jaylen, same thing. Guys bounce off him. You know, he's got a feel, cut back things. Guys that can take a check down or a schemed up bubble screen and go 60. I mean, that's unique in space. Or Kenny in space, he's just a unique athlete. You know, at that position, there's been a run of guys out of Memphis that have been hybrid backs and wideouts, and he's one of them. They've had a good run down there in Memphis. You know, sometimes you're limited what you got. Sometimes it's one for one, and you can get into some of the two backs. And again, because he can do it, he's a legitimate threat at wideout. So it gives you a lot of flexibility, and you try to get the ball in your productive players' hands. And obviously with Jaylen morning of, can't go, his role became bigger as his traditional back, and he did a heck of a job. But there's a lot of – it gives you a lot of freedom going forward. You build confidence.
It's honestly the thing I'm the most conflicted on for this game. I like Jaylen Warren a lot, so it's hard for me as a Jaylen Warren fan and believer to say less Jaylen Warren is what's best for this team. At the same time, Gainwell – did so well, even if the personnel and scheme the Steelers used, he greatly benefited from. Like, do I think Jaylen Warren could have had a similar game running behind that offensive line with that blocking? Yes, I do. But I've also seen it so few and far between, the Steelers having successful rushing attacks lately, that I don't want to not reward that. You know, so... And I also think with both guys, even though they're used to not being the number one back, I also think just like rotating them and doing it 50-50 is probably a disservice to both. So I actually think potentially for this game, as far as like personnel usage, this is the toughest call Tomlin and Arthur Smith have to make. And if I was sitting in that meeting room and they gave a rat's ass about my opinion, I don't honestly think I honestly don't think I'd give them a good answer, Chris.
I'd go Gainwell pretty firmly.
And I said Gainwell earlier in the week, but now I don't feel as good about it because I like Warren so much.
Warren seeks out contact, and I think the Browns are a good enough tackling team when it comes to the run game that I don't necessarily want that. I also thought Gainwell just looked really smooth.
He did.
He looked very decisive. I think even when Warren looks good sometimes, there's a certain choppiness. Not necessarily like a bad thing. I'm saying it in that tone like it is. There's a certain halting nature to how he runs where he'll explode after going sort of sideways and laterally. He did it on the long catch and run. There's a little bit of that. And Gainwell just, I don't know, man. I know he's not the same body type. It reminded me of a version of watching like Fred Taylor against the Steelers when he would get the flow going one way, cut back, very smooth sort of stride and gait, and that just created a lot of confidence in me, the viewer, that he knew where the hole was, knew how to get to it, and whatever run Gainwell was going to have, whenever he touched the ball in that game, I felt like he was going to max out the carry, which is a good feeling against a team that only after last week's game started giving up on average exactly 3 yards a carry.
Donnie, which running back would you treat like the starter in this game?
I think I would ride the hot hand and go Gainwell, yeah. And you guys know what a fan of Jaylen Warren I am.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's not as if he's, you know, it's not as if Gainwell is replacing, like, a Hall of Fame-level running back here, and it should be a guy that plops right back into start. I mean, I would be more than fine if it was right down the middle, 50-50 or whatever, but, I mean, Gainwell was great. against Minnesota. Keep it rolling.
Here is Arthur Smith on Aaron Rodgers' comments. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday, look, we can't throw the ball downfield because of the way defenses are playing us right now. They're sitting back with those two deep safeties. There's not opportunities to throw it deep because they've got guys camped out back there. Here's Arthur Smith's reaction to that.
You know, at the end of the day, he's got a lot of reps. You know, you may call a play, you trust him. Like, you know, sometimes if whether you're trying to run some kind of three level or double move deep, you know, you may get the look you want. There's plenty of guys, and we've got enough guys too. And I call it the Uncle Rico from the Bowling Butter. You just see guys just launch one, and it's, you know, it might be in a single high, and the guy just goes over there and he takes the ball out of his hand. There's one way to do it, or you scheme it up and you get the look and they bite and launch it that way. And you may hit the second level. And then sometimes if you're just feeling in rhythm and it goes again, credit to our backs, it's like you clear the paint. It may be there. Heck, sometimes it's just, hey, I just getting one through the hoop and I'm giving the ball to Kenny or Jalen in space with nobody around him in 10 yards. I mean, those are good plays. You know, so it's just, there's a lot that goes into it. You certainly try to make sure that they feel it, whether you hit it or not. At least the DBs feel it. So they're not just sitting there sitting on everything because that becomes a problem. And then you get times and the way you want to be built is when you can go deep and you've got guys that can take, you know, we call it a strike route that DK took. He took it 80. And that, to me, makes you really explosive. You can multiple ways where it's not just go balls and launching them like Uncle Rico style. There's different ways to hit them. Certainly, you want to hit some down the grass. And, you know, we've had some, you know, some one-on-ones that we've hit, and man, but then we'll keep working on it.
Man, he's really loving that Napoleon Dynamite reference. I've never seen that movie, by the way. I get the Uncle Rico thing because I've seen
it. Was a time and a place.
Yeah.
It was very much a time
and
a place.
And I don't think it really is like required viewing to go back and watch it.
It's
to
also
feel
not
like
your
I,
type of humor. Maybe if you had been ultra stoned while you watched it, you would have liked it.
So you don't think it's aged well?
I just think, like I said, time and a place. It's one of the few movies
where,
like... So
if you sat down to watch it right now with Lennox and...
I'd be like, nah, no, I'm not bothering to do this. Yeah. I mean, there's some lines...
Are you surprised Arthur Smith seems to be a Napoleon Dynamite fan?
Actually, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Like he's a man that's making Alexander the Great and World War II references when he talks.
Yeah, he contains multitudes. I would like to see him like transition from, yeah, I'm going to read about Alexander the Great coming in on all these elephants. All right, now let's watch.
Donnie, does Napoleon Dynamite strike you as a football guy type movie?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Uncle Rico is an all-time legend. He draws comparisons to Gardner Minshew.
Also,
I love that movie.
There is an Uncle Rico from like every school. Like,
what do you mean?
Like everybody, I shouldn't say from every school. Everybody knows an Uncle Rico.
Absolutely.
I think that's the more accurate thing. There's always somebody.
And what is an Uncle Rico?
Basically an Al Bundy, four touchdown city championship.
A guy who talks about his high school football career like he was the greatest of all time. In Uncle Rico's case,
it's if Coach would have just put me in, we'd have won states.
Gotcha.
What do you think? I could throw a football over them mountains? I do love that line because the mountains are several miles away, and it's just one of the dumbest things ever put on film.
And then he throws that steak, and it hits Napoleon right in the face.
Your grandmother was out off-roading, broke her cockyx.
You want to talk about a guy that got typecast, Josh Hader from that
John
movie.
Hader. Josh Hader is a close.
John Heater.
John Heater. He was in that Blades of Glory movie, though. That was pretty funny.
But he was basically just a Napoleon Dynamite facsimile, wasn't he? He was pretty much playing the same type of character.
Like an awkward guy. Like yeah. They had Pam
That's
from
all
The
he
Office
can do.
In that movie, and they had her looking phenomenal. And he's like,
really?
Oh, yes.
For real?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd concur.
What's up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, they had Pam from The Office. Jenna Fisher is her name. And whew.
She can clean up okay.
Whew. Okay. That might be the understatement of the week.
But why doesn't she do that in more shows and movies then?
I don't think she wants to be typecast.
As a woman that men
are
attracted to?
As a sultry secretary. She plays like the same role that she did in The Office where she's kind of unassuming and... Well, a little bit meek and like the forgotten about person, and then she's the beautiful rose.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pony.
All right, we're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook. 3 days away from Steelers and Browns. Pittsburgh game day will be here Sunday with Donnie Football, Mark Cabali, Jason Mackey. You can park down here and then walk over to Acrisure Stadium. Watch the Steelers take on their AFC North little brother. Big favorite in that game. Trying to get to 4-1 and trying to watch the Ravens fall to 1-5. They've got a tough test to date with the Rams. Sunday afternoon, they are more than a touchdown underdog here at the Rivers for that matchup. Fan Hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find NFL analyst Steve Palazzolo from the 33rd team back with us. Steve, the Browns made another trade this morning. Greg Newsome, a name we all know, goes out the door. A guy from the Jags comes into Cleveland. Did the Browns get better or worse with this trade?
I think it was pretty even deal. I think on both sides, the advantage the Browns get here is the extra Campbell already paid signed his contract, his second contract, and so he's tied up for a few years. And you know, when you trade for someone who's already signed, the Jags have already paid the signing bonus. Essentially, that's where all their dead money comes from. So the Browns might get a bit of a bargain, I would say, over the next couple of years relative to maybe what they would have paid Newsom. So I think that's where they're trying to why they made that move, maybe a better scheme fit for Campbell with the Browns. And then, you know, Cleveland, the Deshaun Watson thing was so bad on so many different levels. Cleveland had a decent roster a couple of years ago, but because of the lack of draft picks and the lack of money flexibility the last couple of years, they've lost a lot of depth. So I think the Browns getting someone who's locked up long term, getting the extra draft pick that they've gotten, they're really trying to think toward the future, and I think that's where that move makes sense for the Browns to bring Tyson Campbell in.
Steve, what were your overall impressions of Dylan Gabriel in his first NFL start?
I thought he was fine. I thought it looked like the Browns were treating him like a rookie, treating him like it was his first start. It was very run-heavy, a lot of Quinshon Judkins. I thought Judkins looked good as a runner. And then most of the pass game was play action, get him out of the pocket, you know, screen game. So I thought they took care of him as far as, you know, playing as a rookie. I thought he made a couple nice throws down the field, could have been better there. But I thought it was a conservative year, game one type of game plan for Dylan Gabriel.
All right, Steve, I know you love to do this. You guys watch all the tape and you graded for years and all that. So put your X's and O's cap on. Here comes the Browns with this defense. And they love to put personnel on the field to stop the run. So, if you're sitting in those Steelers meeting rooms this week offensively, are you going to go back to that jumbo package well that they used against the Vikings with the extra tight, with the extra offensive lineman and Darnell Washington? Or do you say, you know what, they put all these run people on the field, all these big people, let's spread them out and throw the ball on them with a bunch of wide receivers and tight ends who function as wide receivers? What would your strategy be?
I like the idea of spreading the throw against the Browns. They'll play a little bit more man coverage. I thought Rodgers did a really nice job at the line of scrimmage against the Vikings. So it's a different type of system that they're facing, but the same idea. The Vikings can pressure you from all angles. The Browns can pressure you with their front four, maybe as well as any team in the league. But they're going to play a lot more man, the Browns. So I would start to lean on DK Metcalf as more of a downfield threat. I know they had a couple more, you know, vertical type routes for him last week. But I think this is where you lean into Aaron Rodgers. He's still very accurate in one-on-one situations when you do play man against him. I think it's a DK Metcalf type of game. You know, trust him, get the back shoulder game going, get him isolated one-on-one. But just still, the thing that needs to be similar to the Vikings game plan is getting rid of the ball quickly. I mean, the Browns pass rush is fierce, and it's not just Myles Garrett now. Their defensive tackles are creating a lot of havoc. Defensive ends on the other side. So I think they're doing a really good job, the Browns, of creating pressure with their front four, and it's going to be on the Steelers to spread it out, get those one-on-ones, and let Rodgers use his pinpoint accuracy that I think he still has in him, especially when he gets one-on-one.
How much of a viable strategy, though, is it, Steve, to try to neutralize Garrett to do the old classic run the ball right at the guy if you've got a vicious pass rusher on the other end, line everybody up and make him defend the run? Because I would still want to try to do that with him, even with how good their run defense is.
I mean, I think you always have to do that a little bit. I mean, one of the game plans that always stood out to me was the Chiefs against the Niners a few years ago when the Chiefs didn't have the best playmakers, but Andy Reid was just cooking, trying to slow down Nick Bosa. And it was like Nick Bosa was running in a circle the entire game. So you always have to mix it up. And what the Chiefs did that game is they'd run a screen, then they'd run a draw or some sort of, you know, shotgun run play. Then they'd run at him, then you run away from him, then you take your shot down the field and you triple team him or whatever it is. So they did a really good job of keeping Bosa. That was just the one that stands out. So I think you always have to mix it up and be smart with it. You throw a screen behind him, you slow down the pass rush that way, you run at him, run away from him. So I think you always have to mix it up, and that does make a lot of sense to slow down a guy like Garrett.
Steve, one of the big topics here is the Steelers tight end room. And Pat Freiermuth, who they gave a lot of money to, played a career-low 15 snaps against the Vikings. He's got a cap hit of around $11 million with multiple years left on the contract. And a quarter of the way through the season, he's got 7 catches for 65 yards. If you had a tight end making that kind of money and you were the GM of the Steelers, how would you view that?
I mean, I think he'd be a bigger part of the offense. I still think he's a very good player. I know there's always been some Jonnu Smith love from Arthur Smith, and I know Darnell Washington's just a monster extra offensive tackle type, but I would use Freiermuth. I mean, the Steelers are in another interesting spot. Like, how many years are we sitting here 5 to 10 weeks into the season saying, yeah, the underlying metrics aren't great, but they're winning games, and this one's, you know, negative point differential, but they're still, you know, still winning games. They're still 3-1 and looking to be 4-1. That's great, but I don't think the offense has been that good. So you still want to get more out of this offense, and I think Freiermuth can help that. I would use him more as part of the offense.
Steve, a lot of Steelers fans are projecting that, hey, the Browns might be tough, but the Steelers should win this game. The Browns have literally only won one game in Pittsburgh since Tomlin took over. It was the playoff game in 2020. And then they're saying, okay, 4-1, can get the Bengals even on a short week because they're in disarray, 5-1. How much better or more dangerous do you think the Bengals got when they acquired Joe Flacco?
Not that much more dangerous. I think, yeah, look, Jake Browning, I thought, put together some decent games in 2023. He was showing no signs of doing that. I think what Joe Flacco brings to the table is at least the possibility that he could put together some decent games and at least get the ball. I mean, he might throw some picks, but at least get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and let them work, because the Bengals still have excellent playmakers, even the receivers and tight ends beyond Chase and Higgins. So slightly more dangerous, but, you know, Joe Flacco is still working behind one of the worst pass blocking offensive lines. He can't move. It's not like you're going to trust him in a game where he's getting pressured 40% of the time, but that's probably what they're facing. But I think they stumble into a couple good passing attack, you know, passing weeks with Flacco, which, you know, Browning looked like he had no chance of pulling that off at this point.
Brutal honesty there from Steve. I like that. The odds makers here at the River still think the Ravens are the favorites to win the AFC North. Do you agree with that, Steve?
Really tough. I mean, last year at this time, the Rams were 1-4, and they didn't look as bad as the Ravens are right now, but, you know, people forgot about the Rams, and then they go on a run. Teams can go on runs. I think the Ravens' defense should be better, even with their injuries. Like, once they get healthy, they shouldn't be as bad as they've been. And, of course, Lamar Jackson and that offense, they can, you know, play as, like, one of the best offenses in the league. We've seen it. So, yeah, I think the Ravens can absolutely go on a run, but they're in a hole now. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be favorites after this week. The Rams go in there and win. They head to the bye. They try to get Lamar Jackson back. They might be in too big of a hole, especially if the Steelers do win those next two games over a four-day period. That's going to make it really difficult. But I get why they do that. I mean, I get it's a long season. The Ravens have a track record of playing much better football, but I think they're running out of time to be considered the favorites in the division.
Steve, after the Yankees bounced your beloved Red Sox and the Reds were here and then gone, how much delight did you take in Vlad Jr. just destroying them single-handedly and then going, "The Yankees lose"?
The complex that we had in Boston when I before that first World Series, the local radio announcers wouldn't even celebrate the Red Sox winning. They would have Yankee elimination parties. They would have a party on the like, that was the type of complex that they had in Boston in the 90s and into the early 2000s. Yankee elimination parties. So it still feels good to watch the A's. As long as the Yankees don't win, I'm good. I got to watch four Red Sox World Series over the last 20-plus years here. So, yeah, it felt good to watch the Yankees get bounced.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. So he thinks the Freiermuth solution is to just get him on the field more and get him the ball more. The get him the ball more thing should be easy because Rodgers is accurate and supposedly Arthur Smith schemes up things
good routes
for
tight
ends better than anybody.
I'll go back to the bigger issues. They're not putting him on the field.
Yeah. Well,
like, that just tells me a lot about what they think his utility to what they want to do offensively is.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to Donnie's biggest football topic of the day, listen to Starkey on Wednesdays to learn about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it is brought to you by Soloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Don?
The Debrief, October 9, 2025. A little assist here. I will give some credit to our buddy Joel Nelson, who will be behind the glass for me tonight. He said, I think the guys will enjoy this one for the debrief today. You may have seen the tweets. I don't know. There were a couple that got put out there. The Browns are currently paying 8 quarterbacks. Can you name all 8?
All right, hold on. Hold on. Let's do the easy ones here, Pony. Paying Watson. They're paying Gabriel. They're paying Shador. They are presumably paying Flacco still.
Yes.
Do we count like Bailey Zappi?
Yes, you do.
Okay. So those are 5. Are they paying Kenny still?
Mm-hmm. 8K.
All right, hold on. So
DTR.
Yeah, they gotta be paying
yes.
DTR. Okay, so then there's one more. Jameis.
Yep.
Wow.
Yes.
So they're paying
quarterbacks.
They are paying Deshaun Watson. They still have almost $36 million on that deal. Jameis, 2.2. Gabriel, 1.1. Flacco, just under $1 million. Shador, $955K. Zappi, $315. DTR, $171. Pickett, $8.
I'm surprised they're not paying Bobby Bonilla at this point.
I was gonna say I'm surprised. I was gonna say Bernie Kosar, but they actually I think are paying Kosar. Doesn't he still do stuff for them?
He might do like team ambassador stuff. Yeah, they're paying Otto Graham, Brian Sipe.
Is Baker Mayfield a top 5 quarterback all time for the Browns?
Kosar,
Sipe won the MVP.
Otto Graham's number one.
Yep.
Sipe won an MVP, has to be up there, even though even Clevelanders say that's like a one-hit wonder year kind of for him.
Kosar
for sure.
How about Testaverde?
I think Baker's in the top 5 because I can't name another one. I mean, Horseballs Anderson did it one time. Kelly Holcomb. I think Baker's, yeah, definitely a top 5.
I think
he also broke a playoff losing streak and like all that stuff.
I think Baker already... is arguably top five of both the Browns and the Buccaneers quarterbacks of all time.
The Bucs only have, you can go Brady, you can go, what, Brad Johnson, because he won a Super Bowl there, I guess?
Do you still go Jameis there, even with the INTs?
How about Doug Williams?
Oh, yeah, Doug Williams has to be on there.
Because Charlie and I had this conversation a few months ago. He tried to really push the Testaverde
Buccaneers
thing, but,
front.
I mean, he sucked with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Young also, I was going to say that he tried to push Steve Young on
Steve
you too
Young
there.
Didn't play, no. Really. Josh Freeman wasn't good enough. Sean King was a flash in the pan for a defense-oriented team.
All right, so here is the Browns list of all-time leading passers. Brian Sipe is one.
Uh-huh.
Otto Graham is two. Bernie Kosar is three. Baker Mayfield is four. Frank Ryan in the 1960s is five. The guy went 52-22 as the starting quarterback. He's got to be on the list.
Yeah, put him on.
Right? I mean,
put him on the list.
He's 30 games over 500. Tim Couch is sixth. Bill Nelson is seven. Milt Plum, Donnie's favorite, is eight. Mike Phipps, nine.
Conservatory.
Vinny Testaverde, 10. What a horse crap list of quarterbacks that is. So of guys that have played in the modern era of football, you have Sipe, Kosar, Mayfield, Couch, Phipps, and Testaverde.
That's pretty horrifying.
In their top 10. And Sipe was two games over 500 as quarterback. Kosar was two games over 500 as quarterback. Do you think Mayfield was over or under 500 as Browns QB?
This is a trick question, and he was exactly 500.
Donnie?
I feel like he was actually under slightly.
29-30.
Good call, Don.
Yeah, 29-30 as quarterback.
I just cannot believe the amount of self-sabotage both they and he undertook. He doggedly refused to stop playing through injury. They didn't step in as the adults in the room and say, we're just going to rest you. We believe in you. It gets so toxic that they get him out of there and then slander him on the way out the door as, like, not a very mature guy. And then bring in one of the biggest miscreants in the entire NFL and give him the biggest reward anyone's ever gotten.
Deshaun Watson has started 19 games as Browns quarterback.
Uh-huh.
What do you think his record in 19 games is?
I will go with 5-14.
Donnie?
Oh, I'm thinking right around that same thing. I'll go 4-15.
He's 9-10.
Really?
Which,
did they have a couple games where defense just did a ton of heavy lifting?
Which
for
is
them?
Still not good based on the investment. It's over $200 million and it's all guaranteed. But that record is better than I thought it would be. 19 touchdowns, 12 interceptions is Browns quarterback for Watson.
He just, even though those numbers are not like a complete atrocity, the touchdowns and interceptions,
no.
Man. It's just watching him play, you got it conferred the idea of like, oh my God, this guy became completely shot before our very eyes.
Yeah.
Like I've rarely seen it happen where the lowlights were so bad that everyone kind of collectively decided at once, like, yeah, this guy's not really an NFL quarterback anymore. You know what I mean?
Maybe he was just never that great to begin with. You ever think about that?
That thought has crossed my mind. Like, did we overrate the Houston? But like him in Houston was, it passed the eye test.
They won two divisions with him.
He got up 24-0 on the Chiefs or whatever in an AFC title game.
Yep.
Or no, an AFC divisional
round.
Game.
Then they play the Titans
the
next week.
They play the Titans, thank you.
Yeah. 11-5, 10-5, 26 touchdowns both years, 9 interceptions, 12 interceptions. Those aren't great numbers, Chris. And then the next year they were terrible, so he threw it a ton. He had over 500 pass attempts, 4,800 yards, which led the league. 33 touchdowns, but they were playing so many games from behind that it's kind of
Are you saying he suffered from Russell Wilson disease in Denver a little bit? Like put up decent-looking counting numbers, but they just weren't that
no,
good?
No, but with Russell Wilson, are you saying Russell Wilson in Denver, not in Seattle? Yeah, I would say that's true of probably the Denver. Well, I don't know, because that Denver team was not 4-12 terrible.
Here's my thought on Watson, and I saw it when I was haunting the Cleveland live stream during Ken Carmen's show and just trolling some of them and like lecturing some of them on their bad opinions, which I actually did multiple times. There was one person in there who I think said it right. He was away from football for so long that he really never, like, most guys, if they're out for a couple of years, seemingly can get back to the speed of the game if they're healthy. He was out of playing football for long enough that he just never got it back from a speed of the game perspective.
There's a rumor there that he's going to play for them at some point this year. That
How
they
many
think
players
if Gabriel just flatlines and is just so-so as a rookie, if he gets healthy enough to play, they'll put him on the field to try to get some return on investment and see what he can still do.
Would he be one of the first players whose own home fans would throw things at him?
I mean, didn't they cheer when he got hurt? And didn't the owner have a water bottle thrown in his head by, like, a lawyer in
Possibly.
Cleveland?
Possibly.
He's... The guy that had his season tickets revoked for it?
How could you... I know that athlete. Like,
what unbelievable aim, though.
Right. Oh, agree. Sign him up to play quarterback.
I was thinking the same thing.
How?
Like, do you think that from the upper deck you could hit somebody? No,
no
way.
And also, how did it not knock him unconscious? If it's thrown from that far away, the thing's damn near
hitting terminal velocity.
I
think he was hurt pretty badly by
Okay.
it.
How if you're Deshaun Watson and you got back in there? I know that, like, everyone would say, ah, it's football. Like, the guys are going to listen to whoever's in the huddle. How could you realistically get back into the huddle and be like clap your hands, like, all right, boys, let's get after it out there. Everyone knows you're a lame duck. Everyone knows you're one of the most reviled players in the league. You single-handedly sabotage the franchise.
Have you ever gone for a massage without a girlfriend or wife being
no.
a part of it?
One
Me
time,
neither.
One time, Alex, she and her, like, her mom, they knew somebody who did, like, massages in the home.
Yeah.
And, like, we all went through... like, person one after another for, like, a 30-minute massage. But, like,
yeah.
Alex is, like, in the next room.
Yep.
Yeah, and he was just – the guy was ringing up massages like it was no one's business.
Well, I do subscribe to the Seinfeld theory on that. I could not get a massage from a guy.
What,
I'll come right
the Costanza? It moved! Jerry, I think it moved!
I happen to agree with him on that. Say whatever you will.
You'd be psychoanalyzing.
Sexist, I absolutely cannot do it. Then they give you, and anytime I've signed up for a couple's massage with Amanda, you are able
to pick
when you yes, the gender of the person who's going to do it. I don't know what it is. I can't get past it.
I think that's a guy thing because I think most women
no
would
doubt.
Be like, "Hey, I'll have a woman do the massage."
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just an Andrew Filippone and George Costanza thing. But
I would not want to compare yourself much to one of the most neurotic characters in the history of television.
I mean, Donnie, if I got you a massage for a honeymoon and a guy like James Harrison came in the room to do it, would that freak you out?
Yes, and I would be very intimidated.
I'm laughing at the idea of a guy who looks like James Harrison but also has James Harrison's kind of higher-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really do a Harrison voice video. All right, what hurts today? Shoulders? wouldn't the operating theory be the guy is a stronger masseuse, so if you have something like a shoulder really messed up, they can get their knuckles, like, even further down and help you, basically.
Yeah.
That Costanza moment is an all-timer, though.
There was a guy, he didn't do the couple's massage that Amanda and I were in on, but there was a guy that took a couple in when we were down in West Virginia at a resort down there, and he looked like the actor from The Green Mile.
Michael Clark Duncan?
Yes.
The late great. I don't want you to mistakenly say he's alive because he's not.
Yeah.
So he looked like Michael Clark Duncan.
Yes.
Who was a big dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he had like the massage
booming,
kind of scrubs on. And he was like.
Booming voice.
Slapped his big paws together and said, all right, who's next?
Who is he, Bill Goldberg?
I'm like, not me, buddy.
He's going to do the spear and the jackhammer after he gets done?
Not me today.
Did you know that in The Green Mile, they actually had to do the shoots of him walking down the hall with prison guards very creatively for this reason? I forget, it's a character actor, he's been in a lot of stuff, but the one guard who's got like a beard, who kind of has like a, almost like a droopy, sad dog face.
I know what you're talking about.
He's taller than Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, that guy
bigger.
Is a big dude.
He's like 6'6", and Michael Clark Duncan's only actually like 6'4". Was only actually 6'4".
So I know that droopy face you're talking about.
They're trying to shoot him like he's a giant who's like 7 feet tall, and he's shorter than the guy who's playing the prison guard. I love those little trivia notes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.